Welcome to the Federation of Jewish Men's Clubs, more commonly known as the FJMC, Health and Wealth Podcast, which provides you, the Jewish man, useful information about health and wealth issues which can impact your life. We'll tell you a little bit more about the FJMC organization at the end of this podcast. Today's podcast will focus on two subjects, which all men, whatever their age, should be aware of. Today's health episode is about details to consider when planning hernia surgery, something which too many of us have faced during our lifetime, and was written by A. Douglas Heyman, a medical doctor and a fellow of the American College of Surgeons. It is read by Dr. Paul Davidson, PhD and active men's club and FJMC member and medical doctor specializing in gastrointestinal and general surgery and psychiatry at Brigham and Women's Hospital, Boston, Massachusetts. And now let's learn something about preparing for a hernia surgery.
There are a lot of steps and information that ought to be considered when planning surgery for a groin hernia. Every patient is different, and there are variations in the types, location, extent, anatomy, symptoms, and complexity of those hernias, and the surgical solutions. Every surgical procedure ought to be considered a risk, even though other people consider it routine. Listen during your consultation and be convinced that your surgeon is thinking about what is best for your personal and individual situation. Surgeons must integrate technique, craft, art, science, data bits, and experience at stages of preoperative evaluation, strategic planning, and during the steps of performing surgery. Surgical procedures require accomplishing many sequential successful steps, not one action or program cut-and-paste maneuvers. At times, the steps are obvious, simple and fast. At other times, repair is elusive, complex, and tedious. Each problem requires an individual-focused solution. Frequently, the solutions are similar but rarely identical. An experienced surgeon knows that there are no small operations. The easiest procedures sometimes result in the biggest problems. When a surgeon states, quote, "I always only do the XXX technique," end quote, he is suggesting technical simplicity, almost automation. His technique will be effective most of the time. A good craftsman would embellish the basic technique to provide individuality based on his previous experience. An artist will create new solutions to improve the results. All decisions must be based on experience, science, results, technique, craft, and art, and then executed within the context of normal and abnormal anatomy, individual associated tissue factors, reasonable expectations, and socioeconomic needs. Surgeons will be successful most of the time if rigidly adhering to one selected technique. In Europe, surgeons were satisfied for decades with a Bassini repair, which was described before 1900. Modern communication and transportation were absent. Americans simplified the published technique and had poor results. The skills of local anesthesia, dependable in the 1930s, were lost in the 60s until the competitive pressure of the Canadian Schultes Clinic forced Americans to relearn it. The Schultes Clinic embellished that classical Bassini repair with the imposition of multiple reinforcing layers and accomplished enviable results, employing the same method in rapid sequence for multitudes. Mesh was not used. Americans adopted the Canadian technique for the most part, and once understood, were successful as well. Other Americans strove to further improve techniques based on wound requirement and new materials. Irving Lichtenstein in California emphasized the avoidance of tension, not only to improve wound healing, but also to improve comfort and added mesh to create a reproducible tension-free technique. Theoretically, the impenetrable plastic mesh would ensure the absence of recurrence. Local anesthesia was easily used, and the procedure was performed on an economic ambulatory basis. Nias and Condon investigated a different anterior open incisional approach, approaching the inguinal area from behind muscles. This new type of approach was expanded by others, adding a wide layer of mesh in this deep preperitoneal layer behind those weak groin tissues. In the 1990s, using video laparoscopic pelvic equipment and optical magnification, the deep technique of inlay mesh reconstruction was successfully adapted, accessing the deep tissue plane through small punctures, further minimizing postoperative pain, disability, and scarring, and accomplishing at least equivalent results. Many other variations and types of mesh were devised for many reasons. One solution does not solve all problems. Individual tissues vary in strength. Habit did not replace creative thinking, and speed does not supersede precision. Patient education. Avoid misunderstandings. The surgeon who performs your hernia repair should educate you with enough information for you to confidently participate in the decision-making processes. Because one repair does not fit all patients' requirements, explanation of the options of treatment and description of the alternative techniques require an orderly two-way communication, including verbal and visual descriptions of techniques, clarification of ambiguities and misconceptions, establishing realistic expectations, and evaluation of risks and benefits, advantages and disadvantages. You may have special needs or conditions that require integration into the equation, including fears, past surgical experiences, coexisting medical risk factors, employment needs, exercise habits, cosmesis and psychological predisposition. Institutional cost factors will impact in addition to limits established by insurance companies and HMOs. Because laparoscopy is also called minimally invasive, one might think that it is simple, doesn't need much anesthesia, is safer, and is better done when risk cofactors such as heart disease or urinary problems coexist. Laparoscopy is actually minimally incisional, but the procedure is performed in a deeper and wider space with more dangerous and sensitive structures in the neighborhood. General anesthesia is needed, and the risk of most coexisting medical conditions is magnified. The bigger cut and less penetrating but still wide dissection of the standard incisional techniques, however, are closer to the surface and can dependably be performed with local anesthesia on an ambulatory basis with less risk from coexisting conditions. Beware of marketing. Laparoscopy is not the same as laser. Laparoscopy is a method of access, technique, and visualization with a few small incisions. Laser is an adjunctive measure of energy deliverance that is used in place of a knife, cautery, or other energy delivery systems. Some patients have concluded from lay information that a laser can magically perform this operation without an incision. Laser surgery was popular when it was introduced in the 1980s, and it still has important uses now, but misconceptions persist. Recent marketing of robotics in abdominal surgery is also perplexing. Results have not been shown to be better or equivalent. Expense and length of surgery is greater, and application to complex situations requires clarification. Surgeons need to talk about these things, otherwise hearsay might be misleading. The preoperative consultation. A consultation with the operating surgeon is indispensable. Even when the diagnosis is obvious and a referral is made to a geographically remote location, the surgeon and patient must speak in detail about the procedure. Communication of the technique to be used for repair, comparable advantages, disadvantages, options, risks, benefits of different procedures, the anesthetic and adjunctive procedures, expectations, possible complications and sequels, postoperative recommendations and chance of recurrence and recovery require a generous consultation. Continuity of care is preferable. Obtaining this information is not always so simple. The present socioeconomic environment discourages this conversation because insurance companies, HMOs, and Medicare do not appropriately compensate time needed for this discussion. Physicians, physician assistants, and health extenders might function separately in series and with compromised continuity. The consultant, the person obtaining consent, the surgeon, and the postoperative caregiver might all be different. Keep your own contemporaneous summary of all discussions. Public access information is useful but not specific or proprietary. The internet, lay press, gossip, and descriptions of memories of personal experiences of surgery by friends at some remote time might lead to unreasonable and erroneous expectations and impressions. Correct orientation can only be accomplished with a planned discussion. Terms like laser surgery in place of laparoscopic surgery even lead some people to believe that repair can be done magically without an incision and without pain. Tissue reaction to trauma is not an intuitive concept, and the word repair leads some naive patients to assume that a patch is placed like repairing a pair of pants and requires no tissue reaction or wound healing. The paradoxical laparoscopy of tiny, barely visible incisions and invisible extensive dissection must be explained if the patient is expected to understand the postoperative course and comparison to open anterior incisional techniques. Realistic expectations are important. If your expectations are unreal or unreasonable, it's likely that your experience will be disappointing and surprising. What long-term problems can result from hernia repair? Surgery can sometimes be followed by long-term problems. Some minor aches, pulling, stiffness are limited. For the purpose of clarification, a problem that persists 6 months after numbness can still improve after this point. More troublesome symptoms are of greater concern. Pain is a significant complaint after the early phase of wound healing. Pain as presenting symptom before surgery is a risk factor for postoperative pain. A different pain might have been noted immediately after surgery and continuously required narcotic relief. The pain may be under the wound and in the area of the preoperative hernia bulge, or the pain might radiate from the wound into other areas. Motion or position changes might worsen symptoms. If the pain prevents return to normal activity and work after 4 to 6 weeks, the complaint requires attention. If the symptom persists for 3 months, there is cause for concern. Nerve entrapment produces burning pain. Radiation of discomfort outside the region of surgery might be felt for a week or two after surgery, but persistence for months is alarming. Nerve entrapment occurs because something is continuously irritating the nerve. This can result from exacerbation of a pre-existing nerve problem, angulations of the rerouted nerve, compression or swelling of the surrounding tissues, or excessive scar formation related to wound healing, sutures, tacks, or mesh. Resolution of a persistent problem might require reoperation. Early recurrence might produce immediate and persistent postoperative pain. There are multiple possible causes. A recurrent hernia protrusion usually becomes obvious within 6 months, but it might be difficult to detect because scar formation holding back the bulge is present in the early stages of wound healing. Recurrence also occurs later in the first few years. The immediate postoperative phase might have been quite uneventful. Recurrence is rare when mesh is used with either open or laparoscopic techniques. Risk factors for recurrence include obesity, neoplasm, age, asthma, prosthetism, constipation, wound healing, immune compromise, previous surgery, technique, and surgeon. Reoperative solutions are different from primary hernia surgeries. Mesh is always used in laparoscopic repairs. In the rare situation that infection occurs, mesh perpetuates this problem. Open repair can still be done without mesh, but is more invasive. Infection risk is decreased with the laparoscopic surgery. Testicular problems are rare in initial hernia repairs, but are a real risk for about 3% of folks in recurrent hernia repairs. This risk is decreased with laparoscopic reoperation after initial open hernia surgery. Correction of problems. Reoperative solutions after hernia recurrence, complications, or postoperative pain are more complex and require the same detailed and tenacious approach. A. Douglas Heyman is an attending surgeon at Lenox Hill Hospital. He can be reached at www.adouglashemann.com or www.herniablurb.com or www.surgiblurb.com.
Today's Wealth article is about a layperson's interpretations of the markets. The episode was written by Dr. Gary Smith, Doctor of Veterinary Medicine, Cincinnati, Ohio, an active men's club and FJMC member, and an active investor in both the tech and medical industries, both in the United States and Israel. The Wealth article is read by Robert Blitzer, also an active men's club and FJMC member, and a non-practicing certified public accountant and account director for a software company in New Jersey.
Market Wizards legendary trader Paul Tudor Jones said, quote, "The most important rule of trading is to play great defense, not great offense. Every day, I assume every position I have is wrong," unquote. Many people are fearful after the debacle of December. Fear is good for rising markets, but truth is we need a major correction. The correction was about 19.75%, which did not quite reach bear market territory. It was a healthy correction. It was the worst December since the Great Depression. Why did we get this correction, and then what transpired afterwards? All the news was devastating. The Federal Reserve Chairman left open the option to raise interest rates in 2019 after raising rates in 2018. That is never a good sign. Trump came down hard on tariffs to the Chinese and other countries. This is very bad for businesses around the world. Companies like Starbucks, Apple, Microsoft, Nvidia, and many others were affected by this news. They all do an enormous amount of business in China. The Chinese economy was contracting rapidly because of a pending trade war. The reality is that China and America need each other. It is in the best interest of both countries to work out a deal. Since China became part of the International Monetary Fund, and part of the Morgan Stanley Capital International Fund, it has begun trading with other countries in the yuan, the Chinese currency, with Russia, with Brazil, Australia, and others. All this is what Russia would like to have happen in its quest to work on destroying America. Earnings were affected by the shutdown. The shutdown took a front row seat in causing the market's tumultuous month. The American people are and were scared and nervous. Further, Brexit is in a political and potential economic disaster. Europe is in turmoil over this. On December 26, when the market went up 1,000 points, the dynamics changed. This continued into January of 2019. Trade negotiations with China started to be positive. Job reports were outstanding, and the Federal Reserve Chairman reacted and stated he would not raise rates in 2019. Then the shutdown ended. Markets were very happy. Earnings will be affected moving forward. The melt-up described in the last issue has officially begun. If we settle with China, this will be a huge sign for the markets. It appears to be trending in that direction, yes. You should be cautious, but I believe the greatest gains are yet to come and are happening right now. I like high-quality companies paying a dividend in cash. I also like buying into trends, such as marijuana or gold, which has been down for so long that it is cheap, hated, and in an uptrend, which is Warren Buffett's philosophy. These are all good signs. If the China deal gets done, then international stocks and mutual funds listed above will move to the upside. Now, at some point, this will end. As in previous issues, we discussed what will bring the bull market to an end. Increases in interest rates, the job report showing increased unemployment, narrowing of the advanced decline line, narrowing or inverting of the yield curve, where the two-year rates are higher than the 10-year rate, and decreased earnings. Also, the debt we have accumulated over the last 2 years due to the tax cuts, and over the last 10 years, bad car loans, non-payment of student loans, and the QE we went through will all contribute to a devastating market. When? Well, that is the question. keep enough cash for at least 6 months of living, again, buy high-quality securities, and discuss your portfolio with your finance manager.
This health and wellness podcast is presented by the Federation of Jewish Men's Club, a 90-plus-year-old organization of the conservative Jewish movement, whose mission is to involve Jewish men in Jewish life. FJMC has over 200 affiliated clubs spread out throughout the United States, Canada, and around the world, including Israel. The organization's website, fjmc.org, has a wealth of information regarding the organization and its programs. This podcast was engineered by Dr. David Edwards, PhD in biochemistry, who's retired as professor emeritus from the University of Pittsburgh and an active FJMC member. Bruce Fagan did the cover art. If you have any questions, you can reach us by email at podcasts@fjmc.org. I'm Steve Lessman, also an active men's club and FJMC member. Thank you for listening.